Welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast, which is part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. This is episode 50, and for this episode, we're going to be going through the picks that have been made in a recent Dynasty Startup mock draft. So let's go ahead and get into it. And just before we start that, I wanted to let you know that support for this Fantasy Basketball International podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be risky business anymore thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe so you can trim with confidence. Treat your wrinkle berries and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping with code FBI. With Manscaped, it is easy grooming and no surprises. I was never a Manscaped guy before, but since we partnered with them, I have been using their products and it's been great. It's been flawless. As somebody with no experience with using any of their products or any remotely similar products, easy to learn, safe to use, which is a nice plus because that's always a fear. We know every dude gets the heebie-jeebies when it's time for a close shave down under, as I was just saying, especially when using the wrong tools. That's precisely why Manscaped is my go-to for those delicate spots. The main piece of equipment from their package is the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This fifth-generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little bit off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires so you can trim it down nice and smooth, and then finish the job with the second blade head. And then it also has dual LED spotlights, so you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. I wouldn't recommend doing this in the dark, but technically you could because of the lights. But again, just for safety purposes, have some lights on. And if you're worried you'll make a mess, this bad boy is waterproof. You can shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean. I don't know why somebody would want to shave in the ocean because that sounds pretty unsanitary to me. But because of this product and how amazing it is, you can do just that if you want to. Trust me, this trimmer will be your crown jewel's new best buddy. Again, you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI. At manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove. And also just to add with that, the 20% off does combine with the sales that they already have on their site. So you end up getting a really, really good deal as opposed to just a really good deal. So I definitely recommend checking it out, going through. I believe it works on everything on the site. Works out well for you. You get a nice discount and it helps support us, which is helpful, and we would appreciate that. But let's go ahead and get into the fantasy basketball portion of this. This will be the last episode before we start the off-season content because I'm recording this on Thursday, which means that there is 4 more days till the regular season ends, 3 more days of games because we don't have anything on Saturday. 5 games tonight, 15 on Friday, 15 on Sunday. For everybody that's for some reason still playing in their leagues, like they're still going at this point. Props to you for grinding it out. I'm getting exhausted at this point. So to imagine still be setting lineups and having to make all these decisions all the time sounds pretty stressful. So props to you. And yeah, good luck streaming. Obviously there's not gonna be much streaming to be done on Friday and Sunday because 15 games being played and injury reports are gonna be a mess. With 5 games tonight, probably a good time to do it. And that's going to be the extent of the redraft advice for this episode. As I mentioned, we are going to be going through a dynasty mock. How many picks are we through? 111 picks right now out of, the goal is 250. And I guess the goal will happen. We'll see how long that takes. The main part of the draft is done. Obviously, there's still going to be some guys that go very late that end up rising up draft boards and being really good value by the time we get to even doing one of these before next season starts. But I think that having the data right now is a good perspective for dynasty managers to have, because seasons are over, off seasons are starting, which means trades are able to be done again in most leagues, I would assume. Maybe some leagues hold off on trades until after draft lottery or rule changes or whatever. But some leagues probably have trades open. I know at least my home one does. I guess I didn't really establish whether that's happening in the Tank Me Later league, but okay. Some leagues will have trades going on right now. So it'll give you an idea of where dynasty analysts and just fantasy analysts kind of have some of these players ranked as of right now. And I would assume there's a good bit of recency bias in this because not because of any picks in particular, but just the fact that certain players fell a little farther than I expected them to or went earlier than I expected them to. Some of them are totally fine, but that's what we want, is a little bit of recency bias to see how players are being valued right now for the moves that are trying to be made in leagues right now. And if anybody is deciding to do an actual dynasty startup right now, you have an idea of where players should go. So this was 10 teams. I'll go through the draft order real quick, but only 9 other people were adventurous enough to join me for this. So 10 teams, 25 rounds, 9 cat head-to-head, standard stuff. First pick is Zach from Dizzle Dynasty. And you can follow them on Twitter at Dizzle Dynasty. Dizzle Dynasty Sports is their name. I had the second pick. Then we had Andrew from Angle Fantasy Basketball at Angle Fantasy BB. Then we had here. I'm going to pull up the draft board so I don't have to keep, because I knew I was going to do that anyway. So if you want to go ahead and get distracted by looking through the draft board while I'm going through, that's totally fine. But these are also the dynasty analysts and fantasy analysts that you should be following all season, especially over the summer. Great content to help you get ahead. Fourth is Maximum Crumb, who is from Point Made Basketball. At Point Made B-Ball on Twitter. Then we have Dynasty Hoops at Dynasty Hoops HQ on Twitter. Jason_B, which is at DBC Jason. He had the 6th pick. Truxton, who's also from Point Made B-Dub, you can find him on Twitter at Hidden Upside, the behind-the-scenes king of Fantasy Basketball International. And then we have Dan Titus from Yahoo at Dan Titus. And then wrapping things up, Rhett Bauer had the last pick at Rhett_Bauer on Twitter. So that's our 10 drafters. Dan is on the clock right now with his 12th round pick, because these rosters are a little bit, because it's only 10 teams drafting, rosters look a little bit more stacked than you'll probably have in a 12-team league or obviously a 30-team league, which is very popular in Dynasty. So we're going to go through relatively pick by pick. I may not give a ton of thoughts on every single one, but some of them I definitely want to hit on. And just to acknowledge, just in case you're looking, there was some miscommunication on my end. I kind of just started the draft without telling everyone I was going to start the draft. So Joel Embiid went 5th. That was miscommunication on my end. It was an auto draft. And by the time we realized it, we were a few picks in, so we didn't go back and fix it. But Embiid shouldn't be going 5th. Probably won't be going 5th. I'll tell you, I had him in my last Dynasty rankings update. I have him at 16th. I don't remember if that was part of the update that I had with my post-trade deadline rankings, or if that's a different update that I've made since then. But he'll probably go about, honestly, around after where he went in this. But just acknowledging that wasn't an actual pick, keep that in mind. Victor Wembanyama first, if you're drafting first in a dynasty startup. I don't care if it's points, if it's category, if it's 6 teams, 4 teams, 30 teams, whatever. Wemby should be going first. 100%. I said this yesterday on the Roto World Fantasy Basketball show that I did with Raph and Dan Titus. You can check that out wherever you get your podcasts, or on YouTube, I think, as well. And yeah, Wemby should be going first. He has been utterly ridiculous as a rookie. I remember talking preseason about, okay, like, let's temper our expectations for this guy. He's going to be generational. That doesn't mean he's going to come in from day one and be generational. And I was wrong. Pretty much from day one. And we'll say there's a little bit of a learning curve there, but especially over the past 2 or 3 months, like I'm pretty sure over the past 2 months, he is the number one player on Basketball Monster in nine cap value. Like, he's seventh on the season. Yeah, first in nine cap value. Granted, that is inflated by the fact that he's averaged 4.7 blocks per game over the past 2 months. But, I mean, he's averaging 3.6 on the season as a rookie, playing less than 30 minutes per game. As he sees more time in the league and they're starting to play more competitive games, they're not going to keep playing him 30 minutes per game. It's going to be at least 32, 33. I mean, like, 4 or 5 blocks is pretty realistic for him. I mean, like, that's not even a bold statement by me that I have to clarify. No, 4 or 5 blocks, pretty realistic for the next 10, 15 years. The steals were better than I expected them to be, 1.2 on the season. The rebounds are better than I expect them to be as a rookie, partially because they said they were going to start Zach Collins at center, and they did it first, and then kind of eventually moved Wemby to center, Zach Collins to the bench, helped his rebounds out, which is fair. I just didn't expect them to make that change as quickly as they did based on the way they talked about Zach Collins, specifically Greg Popovich. But it made sense. It was a good move, obviously. And the field goal percentage, I mean, I expected it to be pretty low, which 46.5%, I think that's actually probably about where I expected it to be, just because even though he is 7'5", 7'4", he does shoot tough shots, obviously. So the field goal percentage probably isn't – well, okay. I think as he plays more seasons, that's going to go up, because a lot of rookies have the ball in their hands a lot, struggle with field goal percentage, and no, he's not a point guard, but I think it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Is it going to go over 50%? I would assume, but it may not, just because of the tough shots that he takes. But I think closer to 50% is realistic. So that'll help his value more. The turnovers are really bad. I'm not expecting those to get significantly better, but if they were to get an elite point guard, I think both that helps both field goal percentage and turnovers, because somebody else has the ball in their hands. Like, respectfully to Trey Jones, like, if they're serious about building a contender, like, they're going to eventually get a different point guard, whether that's Topic in the draft or they make a trade. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, Trey Young or DeJounte Murray, like, the Hawks are going to trade one of those. Like, we'll see, but that's kind of what the rumors are. Either one of those guys would help Wemby's value. So all that being said, like, whether you're looking at strictly like nine cat rankings or actually, hey, how much of a impact is this guy making? How many categories is he helping in? Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, this is the guy. Cool. Now that we got that out of the way, because we can continue to talk about Wemby for forever. We had Luka go 2. I took Luka 2nd. I think in my let me see what I had. I think I may have had him 3. Yeah, I had SGA 2, Luka 3. Just thinking about it more and like, okay, this is partially because SGA just kept selling for me on Sundays when I needed help with free throw percentage. He would decide, oh, this is the time I'm not going to shoot 14 and 15. I'm going to shoot, you know, 7 of 11 or something. I'm like, come on, man. So it's a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth, it is. But still have him top 3. I just think giving Luka a little bit of an edge because of what he's been doing. Like, Luka's free throw percentage isn't horrible. It's gotten better this year. And the turnovers limit his value. But I was talking with, I guess I wasn't talking with, Adam King was telling me this, and I agree with it. And I think it's something I'm going to like try and implement, because it's kind of what I do anyway in my home dynasty league, because teams are pretty stacked. Is like punting percentages, and or like, I punt turnovers regardless. I'm not really worried about those if I get lucky, whatever. Just because it's harder to stream those in. Like, you can't necessarily stream in field goal percentage or free throw percentage, because even if you find those good shooters on the waiver wire, there may not be a ton of shots for them to get, and that's why their percentage is high. So if you're looking at the counting sets, and I guess with that, field goal percentage would still be easier than free throw percentage, because you can find a center that may get, you know, four layups or four dunks off of at a pick and roll, and that's all they get, or offensive rebounds or whatever. Free throw percentage is harder to stream, or pretty much impossible. But Luke is pretty much, I mean, he's elite in points, rebounds, assists, threes, and he's very good in steals. So like, that's five categories right there that I think that, I don't know. I think Luke over SGA, but I understand going SGA over Luka or Haliburton. I think it's pretty much the same clear top five that it was before this season, or at least some point in the middle of the season, I think was when I kind of made it a top five in my mind. But SGA 3, love it. Jokic 4. Embiid 5, which we talked about. Haliburton 6 and Tatum 7. I agree. Anthony Edwards 8, Trae Young 9. Pretty sure I had, yeah. So the only difference from my latest dynasty rankings was that LaMelo was in there, which he fell a little bit. Scotty Barnes 10, Chet 11. Totally fine with both those. I think I had Scotty Barnes 13, Chet 6 in my latest dynasty rankings. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, I think Chet is really, really good value there. Forgot that I had bumped him up so much. Just like what he's done in his first season is something that he's going to, like, just like Wemby, continue to do and continue to do at a higher level. Chet is, where is he? 24th in 9 cap value this season, first year in the league. The blocks inflate that, but the blocks will continue to be there and maybe get better. He'll be more efficient, more volume, more minutes, all those things. He'll improve. This is his first season. Totally fine taking him there. Would totally have an argument for taking him earlier than that. So Dan went Tyrese Maxey here, and we talked about it yesterday on the Roto World show, because he asked me about it. So when I saw it, I was shocked at how early it was, but I don't hate the pick. Because for a while there, he was a first rounder in 9 cap value, and he's tailed off a little bit, but he's still super, super young. And he's been really good this year. He is 23. So, yeah, I mean, you're getting 10 years of pretty much elite fantasy value there. Also coming off of scoring 52 in their last game, maybe that got Dan a little excited. But still, I told him on the show, his first three picks being Trey, Tyrese Maxey, and De'Aaron Fox. Like, I think Fox is the oldest, but what is he? Let me look this up. 26, maybe? Yeah, 26. So three star point guards for the next 5 at least years, maybe closer to 7, for all three to be providing elite value. So even if I think it's a little early for Maxey, I have him 21st. I don't hate the pick. Alperen Şengün went, what is this, 13th. And I have him, or had him, 15th. So love that pick there. Totally fine with it. I was actually just writing for Roto World 3 players I'm high on for next season, and I have Şengün on that list. We did a redraft mock a couple weeks ago, like way before we should have been, but I took Şengün late 2nd round. So totally fine with that. LaMelo Ball after that, obviously he slid a little bit because of injuries, I'm assuming. But I think that's really great value. I understand concerns about injuries, but because of how random they are, like it's not, I mean, you could say he has bad ankles, which may be true, but when he's on the court, like top 10 fantasy player, at least. When it, obviously his 9 cap value is a little bit lower than that because of poor field goal percentage, poor turnovers. but a guy that can really, really impact the game in a number of categories. Kind of similarly to Luka in the same, like, similar categories by the fact that, like, Luka's better. Like, don't get me wrong, especially when just looking at numbers. But a guy that, you know, points, threes, rebounds, assists, steals right there. So I think that's really good value there to get him at 14, considering, I mean, oh, goodness, probably a year ago at this time, he was top I'll say top five for sure. I'm trying to remember exactly where I had him or where I would have had him. Obviously, the injuries left a poor taste in people's mouth, but still a super talented player. Hopefully, he's able to get back healthy next year, because if he does, like, he's going to be really good. So, Cade Cunningham at 15, Giannis 16, Anthony Davis 17, Devin Booker 18. I went Donovan Mitchell at 19. Had I, like, for some reason, I totally missed that Mobley was still available, because I definitely would have taken him at 19. But he went 20th, which I think is a great pick. I ended up going Mitchell just because, one, like I said, I didn't realize for some reason, that's on me, rookie mistake, that Mobley was still available. But I was just going based off my dynasty rankings. I was going to go Book or Mitchell, and Book went, so I went Mitchell. The past month or so has been pretty bad for him. But, I mean, he's having the best fantasy season overall for his career. Whether he's in Cleveland or somewhere else next year, like, he's going to get his and be really good. So yeah, kind of a that in his prime player, like, there's the aging stars, there's the young prospects, and then, like, kind of in their prime players when you're drafting, and, like, trying, like, that impacts their value in dynasty versus a redraft league. And usually I tend to not end up getting stars in their prime for some reason, now that I'm thinking about it, because I either try and go super young or super win now, just, like, pick a lane. But I tried to go based off, excuse me, my rankings and kind of choosing the best overall team. Like, okay, I'm going to try and win this year, but also still be competitive in 5-10 years. And just doing that by taking the best value each pick. I would probably draft a little bit differently if this wasn't a mock, but just want to say that's kind of how I was drafting, was just best player available. Evan Mobley 20, Paolo Banchero 21. I was pretty upset about that. I wanted to get him. I went Jaren Jackson at 22, which I think was a little bit earlier than where I had him ranked. But I wanted to go kind of with that, like, fairly young, but still win now, still good value, get a big kind of thing. I think that the couple guys that I had ranked higher than him in my latest rankings that were still available were Scoot, who fell a good bit. I'm trying to switch tabs while doing this. Domantas Sabonis, Darius Garland, and Lauri Markkanen, yeah, who also slid a good bit. But I kind of like Jaren Jackson. I don't really have him in any leagues because I think I tend to be a little bit lower on him. But I wanted to get him in this mock. Like what he's done this year, even if it's been different. I'm excited to see what him and they as a team do next year. The next two are pretty interesting because they were pretty early. Actually, we'll say the next three were pretty early or earlier than I expected. Let me just say that. I don't dislike the picks. Matter of fact, I really enjoyed the picks. It's just earlier than I was expecting these guys to go. Jalen Williams, 23. Jalen Johnson, 24. Franz Wagner, 25. And when I think I published my last rankings, I had Jalen Williams, 31. Jalen Johnson, 32. Franz Wagner, 33. Love these three guys going in a row. It was just, I think, roughly eight picks earlier on all of them than I had in my latest ranks. But I think all three of them are pretty deserving of going earlier. It is kind of crazy to see Jalen. Like, I've known, and I don't think it was like an uncommon theory, that Jalen Johnson has a ton of upside. But the fact that he hadn't really played much, and he was pretty low on rankings, but the fact that he's kind of ascended as much as he has. It's been cool to watch, especially as a Hawks fan. So it's cool to see other people saying like, no, this guy is legit. Maybe I'm too low on my own like player from my team, which is, it's fun. Jalen Williams is a star. Franz Wagner is a star. They're only going to get better. Darius Garland was 26th. I think that's pretty similar to where I had him ranked. Yeah, I'm 25th. It's been a pretty bad year for him, but he's still super talented. If Donovan Mitchell gets traded, because say Cleveland loses in the first round, let's see, where are they right now? Are they third still? No, they dropped a fourth. Potentially a first round matchup with either the Magic or the Pacers, or they could move up the standings. Regardless, I think it'll be a tough first round matchup. They obviously lost them to the Knicks first round last year. If things go like that again, I would imagine that some sort of change is made, whether that's trading Donovan Mitchell, firing J.B. Bickerstaff, something like that. Regardless, got to look at Darius Garland long-term. At some point, Donovan Mitchell's probably not going to be in Cleveland, whether that's this summer or over the next few summers. Garland's going to become the guy. He's been ranked higher than this, so this was a little bit lower than he has been recently, and I would assume he just kind of goes back up. Sabonis, 27. Desmond Bane, 28. Fox, 29. Bam, 30. Scoot, 31. He's been slowly dropping down. I still had him 23rd, my last rankings. It's obviously been a rough rookie year, and I was expecting him to kind of turn it on a little bit earlier than he has, but he is starting to. I just had that 15-assist game the other night. Like, such a fun, young, upside prospect that's going to be really good. It's hard to, like, every time, like, on a podcast or just talking about him, like, trying to defend him because he was really bad. And say, like, no, like, he's going to be really good. And then, like, you'd go check the box score or, you know, see a play come up on Twitter. And it's like, goodness, man, like, you help me out a little bit. Like, I need a little bit of ammo when I'm trying to defend you. Other than just, like, no, guys, I swear he's good. Like, I promise he is. Like, you, like, if you watch, like, he's good. It's just not everything's gone his way. But he's a rookie point guard figuring things out. This is probably the lowest he'll be drafted. Like, maybe this summer he'll still be drafted around here. I would assume after next season, significantly higher. That's the kind of picks, obviously, you're looking to make in dynasty startups. Guys that, okay, where are they going to be ranked a year from now? If we were to do this draft a year from now, is Scoot going to go 31 or is he going to go closer to 15? Or if you're out on Scoot and you think, oh, 31, wow, that's high. There's no way he's top 50 next year. Like, I get the upside, but if he stinks again, there's no way he's top 50. Then don't make that pick. It's, you know, personal belief. I think Scoot's going to go much higher than this. So I think good value. Cats, 32. Lauri Markkanen, 33. I think that's also really good value there. I had him ranked significantly higher. I know I'm pretty high on him. And obviously Utah kind of pulling the plug after the All-Star break the last 2 years has hurt his value. I hope they don't go through one more year of a rebuild and that they're like at least competitive next year, just because it is kind of annoying to see him play so well, other prospects be really good on that team, like Walker Kessler being stuck on the bench most of the season when we know what he can do. And maybe that is being a selfish fantasy manager, but I haven't seen anything that makes people say, no, like there's a reason he's on the bench. Like, I get he's a shot blocker, but know that, like, we're fine with him being a backup. So I don't really get it. So hopefully next year they're competing and he's starting. Keontae George starting. Like, other guys are playing big minutes. They added rookies this year. Like, fun team, young team, competitive. Hopefully they don't pull the plug again. Amen Thompson at 34. Yeah, 34. Zion, 35. Ja Morant, 36. Jalen Brunson, 37. We were talking about that yesterday on the Roto World basketball show. Is Brunson a second rounder next year? I feel more comfortable taking him in the third. Raf seemed to think, which understandable, especially with how well he's played, that you're fine taking him in the second round. I did say late second round is probably the earliest I would take him. Things can change this offseason. They will change this offseason. And then once we're able to actually look at, okay, who's going with each pick, we'll have a better idea of where Brunson will be drafted. As of right now, I don't think second round is unrealistic, though. He's not the youngest player, which is probably why he went a little bit later in this draft, but still has a number of really competitive, productive years ahead of him. I was mad Andrew took Brandon Miller here with 38. I really like him now. I don't know, I've said this before. I even just said I like him now, like I didn't like him before. I feel like I'm higher on him now and enjoy him more than I did over the summer, beginning of the season. And perhaps I'm the only one that did this, but I think that the idea that he went before Scoot kind of frustrated me, because I liked him when I was scouting him last summer. But I was like, okay, he is the number three guy, Scoot's number two. And then Charlotte took Brandon Miller number two, and I was like, why? Like, Scoot should have been number two. I still have him number two for this class in Dynasty rankings. Like, I don't know why. What were they thinking? And it was like almost like the agenda in my mind was, no, Scoot is better than Brandon Miller. So instead of saying, Scoot, you have to play well, in my mind, like amplifying Scoot, it was almost like, not that I was tearing Brandon Miller down, but it was in my mind, I guess, doing that. So with that being said, I've corrected that. And I love Brandon Miller. I think he is a very enjoyable player to watch. It doesn't hurt that Charlotte is 2 hours away from me and I'm able to go watch him play. But I love his upside. I think that Paul George comparisons and the fact that he idolizes Paul George is very fair. His style of play is fun to watch. Charlotte made the right pick for them, I think. Totally fine with saying that. Even if I think, I need to not do it. But both those players can be really good. And I just enjoy watching basketball and enjoy players and just need to stick it with that instead of trying to say, yes, but this player is better than this player. These are both going to be really freaking good. It was a freaking good class, especially up top, but even throughout. So I ended up going Chris Stapps with the 39th pick, and I had him ranked 37th. Wanted to go with somebody, again, in like fairly competitive years that isn't super old. Ended up going, I didn't get quite as many prospects as I usually like to in dynasty drafts. Like when I'm doing dynasty startups or whatever, I usually like to go younger because it's more fun for me. Went a little older. That's totally fine. I like the team so far. Jamal Murray, pick 40. Kevin Durant, 41. I went Steph, 42. And honestly, I wish that I went DeJounte Murray, who went one pick after. Again, I think Andrew just kind of has the team that I wish I had. But I think in my mind, I didn't look far enough ahead, and that was a mistake on my end. The rumors are that either DeJounte or Trey is going to be traded this summer. And I feel like in my mind, like at first it was kind of like, we'll see. It depends on how things go. But now that it looks like, okay, the Hawks are pretty set and pretty fine with going into the play-in tournament as the 10th seed. Like they pulled Trae Young 7 minutes with 7 minutes left in the third, didn't put him back in against Charlotte when they had a pretty big lead. They didn't try and put guys back in the last 2 or 3 minutes. Okay, like, let's just try and get this win. Prioritized rest. Okay, cool. So now they have to go into Chicago and win, which not impossible, but harder than having them come to you when they could have potentially had that had they won. And then you have to win in either Philly or Miami or Indiana after that. The play-in Kings are probably going to lose a play-in game this year and be done. Add a lottery pick, whatever. There's no reason for the Hawks to try and make Trey and DeJounte work again. Through 2 years, like, it's something that takes time, and obviously switching coaches from Nate McMillan to Quinn Snyder and having to install a Snyder system changed things and made it more difficult. But I don't think it makes sense for the Hawks to try and run it back. So whether it's trading DeJounte or trading Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, I would assume, is a starting point guard next year, not one of the two starting guards, his numbers are going to skyrocket. I mentioned the column about players that I'm high on for next year. DeJounte is one of them. I mean, he's a guy that could be top 20 at least, maybe top 15, maybe first round, depending on where he lands or if he sticks in Atlanta and they're able to bring back certain pieces by trading Trae Young. And let me just say this, as a fan, I saw Trae Young get drafted. It was the first the last player the Hawks, I think, drafted in the top five before that was Al Horford. I was seven. So this was the first young guy, the young future star they drafted. I got to see develop. So it's I would love to say see Trae Young play his entire career in Atlanta, but looking at it from a business standpoint, I think I'd rather them trade Trae Young and get more picks back than trade DeJounte, probably get less back than what they traded, and probably not get as good of a players back, so then they're still not going to be quite as good. Ideally, they're able to trade Trae Young to San Antonio and get all of their picks back, plus other picks, or this is unrealistic trade package, but all of their picks back in Devin Vassell. That would be a dream for me. won't happen, but what if? So we'll see. But I think getting more back for Trae as opposed to getting less back for DeJounte makes more sense for the Hawks, but we'll see what they do. I won't be mad either way. And if they don't trade both or either, I will be happy as well, because I like both of them as players. But yeah, should have went DeJounte over Steph, but totally fine with Steph. He's going to be at least a couple more years one of the best players in fantasy. And then after DeJounte went Dame, pretty similar to Steph. A couple more years left, but going to be really good. Asar Thompson, elite prospects. He went 45th. Yes, 45th. So that's the entire top five from last draft that has gone in the top 45. Just how good the class was, because there's already been a number of other guys from the class drafted. Kyrie after that, Devin Vassell, OG Anunoby, Jalen Duren, Kawhi Leonard wraps up the top 50. Fred VanVleet, Mikal Bridges, Jonathan Kuminga. I like that pick. He's broke out this year, been really freaking good, and he's going to be really good in Golden State for a number of years, I think. And then as Draymond ages, he's only going to see more and more minutes. They were starting him alongside Draymond, and then Trayce Jackson-Davis moved in when Kuminga got hurt. Now he's coming off the bench. Steve Curtis rolls with whatever's working, which fair. But at some point, I think Kuminga, Trayce Jackson-Davis, that might be their starting four and five, which is kind of cool. That despite all of the criticism and the fact that they probably also still made some bad picks, they've been able to somewhat do this whole development team while competing. They have Pajemski, they have Kuminga, they have Trayce Jackson-Davis, while also still having and obviously they're 10th in the West. They're not a super, super competitive team, but things will change in the postseason if they're able to beat the Lakers, get into the playoffs. Nobody's going to want to see the Lakers or the Warriors in the first round. I don't say that with because they're going to lose. But if you were Denver and you worked all season to lock up the number one seed in the West, and then you go and have to play either LeBron and AD or Steph Curry in the first round, there are other matchups that I'm sure you'd rather have than those teams, even if they've been not a mess, but had their fair share of issues all season. You have to win seven games against LeBron or Steph even at the end of their career. It's not ideal. That's what I'm saying. I would still pick Denver or still pick the Thunder or Minnesota, but those are not matchups that you want. If you you feel like you've earned a little bit of an easier matchup, which granted there are no easy matchups in the West, but having to face any of those stars would be less than ideal. Oh, where was I? So after Kuminga, Emmanuel Quickley went, probably a good bit earlier than he would have last, like before this season. This is pick 54, and he's been really, really good recently. So love the pick. He was teammates with Tyrese Maxey at Kentucky. Now he has his own team to kind of be point guard for. Would love to see him have that kind of breakout year next year. I wouldn't bank on it. I don't think that he's as good as Maxey, but I think this is a fine spot to draft him. 55 for Jaylen Brown, 56 Harden, then Derek White, Miles Turner. I went Paul George. Again, like I said, like I went a little older than I typically like to, but I can't get mad with the team I have. Like, it's a very competitive team, even if Steph and PG are a little bit older than I prefer to draft in Dynasty. Brandon Ingram went 60. Then we had Nick Claxton. I went Anthony Simons at 62. And I had him ranked 47th in my last ranking. So I really like Simons. So I thought this was really good value here. Jalen Green, 63. This last, I guess not really the last couple of weeks, but like that few week stretch where he was the best, one of the best players in fantasy basketball. Going to help his ranking. He's going to be drafted earlier. Like, the upside is there. Hopefully this is something that it's not just, oh, a nice end of season run. Haha. Like, he's going to be back to whatever he was doing before that next season. And I hope this is like, okay, he's taking this step. He goes into the off season, gets better, and then comes out and has a big, big year next year. I like seeing Houston go on a little bit of a run and almost make the play-in. Obviously things didn't go their way at the end, but they're a good team. Like, they're going to be good next year. Shaedon Sharpe, 64. Jared Allen, 65. Then we had Jabari Smith, DeAndre Ayton, Kobe White, Pascal Siakam, Jimmy Butler with pick 70. Then we had Jaden Ivey, Miles Bridges, Josh Giddey, Tyler Hero, Mark Williams. Nobody. Goodness. One of the most frustrating players this season. I think he would have gone a little bit earlier last year, so totally fine with him dropping a little bit based off the injury frustration, but he's still a really good talent. Hopefully, and I don't know if we can rely on Charlotte for this, but they'll be better, more competitive, and be better about injury reporting, but I wouldn't hold my breath on that. Jairus Walker, goodness, I almost said Jabari Walker. He's not going that early. Went pick 78. We had, 76. Then Trey Murphy. I think that's pretty good value there. Keegan Murray. Then I went Julius Randle. I was going to go Keegan Murray, but when he went, again, one pick before me. Goodness, Andrew. Went win now player Julius Randle. I think I had him ranked a little bit higher than this. So I was, let me double check before I start just talking. I had him 58th, which is probably a little bit ambitious now that I'm looking at it. So I'm totally fine getting him at 79. Zach LaVine, 80. LeBron, 81. Two win now picks right there. We're fine with me because I just made a win now pick with Randle. So I was able to go young and get a Hawk on there, which was nice. Onyeka Okongwu. I think we've been saying this for three summers in a row, but I think next year he takes over as the starting center. We'll see. I wouldn't necessarily bank on it, but maybe. When he does, he's going to be really good, and he's shown that, but it's just been frustrating that he played well as a starter for a nice stretch of games before he got hurt with Clint Capella out. I think it might be time. I mean, it's been time for the Hawks to kind of figure things out with the team direction. But if they were to trade Trae Young, I think moving off of Clint Capella and saying, hey, like, we're going to go to Okongwu here, whether that's trading Capella or just like flipping and making the change, going a little younger. I know that Trae Young has like a good friendship with Clint Capella from what I've seen and likes playing with him. His dad is like, Trae Young's dad has said that on Twitter as well. So maybe that's a pretty big factor there. Capella has been playing really well, even if, you know, the missed layups are pretty frustrating. But I think defensively, especially, he's been playing really well past few weeks. Daniel Gafford went 83. Keontae George, Derek Lively, a couple of rookies there. The rookies are going to start to fly off the board a little bit. Jordan Poole, Tari Eason, Walker Kessler went 88th, which was a massive drop for him. Gosh, he was talking like I was on board with this. So this isn't like, oh my gosh, people were doing this and I wasn't, but like a top 30 guy, I think like maybe even like a second rounder at the end of last season, inflated because of the blocks, fair. And I feel like I have a better understanding of that now, which helps me like value him better and value bigs better. But also just the fact that he was sitting on the bench, coming off the bench, I guess, for Utah limited minutes. Like I'm hoping that isn't the case again next year, but we'll see. But I think this is a really freaking good pick. And I was pretty surprised that he was still available. I was hoping he made it back around. I mean, I just wanted to get a Kongwu. But I was considering Kessler and Tari Eason with that pick. DeMar DeRozan and then Austin Reeves at pick 90 to wrap up that round. Naz Reid, 91. And now we have a handful of rookies to go this round. Anthony Black at 92. Bilal Coulibaly, 93. Michael Porter Jr., 94. Taylor Hendricks. Bradley Beal, Jeremy Sohan, Rudy Gobert. I went Brandon Pajemski. I was pretty happy that he dropped me there because I was going to try and get one of those rookies, and then my queue got decimated. Jalen Suggs went So that was pick 99 for Pajemski. Pick 100 was Jalen Suggs. We had Denny. We had Kyle Kuzma. I went Kuz. I had him. Where did I have him? Pretty high, 67th, which I guess I should have went with him a couple rounds before, but was happy to get him there. Kind of in his prime as far as like age and production, really. So helps me win now. So I'll be able to kind of flip-flop each round by going young, old, and we'll say old. Like, it's not really that old, but older, and then with prospects. So might try and go young again this round. We'll see who's on the board still when I get up. Jaime Jaquez, RJ Barrett, Dyson Daniels. Pretty mad that he won't make it back around to me. I like him a lot. Cam Whitmore, Cam Thomas, Colin Sexton. Love that pick there. I had him right around 100 with my last rankings. So Drew Holiday. D'Angelo Russell, the number one D'Angelo Russell fan right there, Rhett Bauer, just made sure to get him to wrap up round 11. And then Jakob Poeltl was the first pick of round 12. So we're almost halfway through this draft. I don't know if I'll do another podcast breaking down the second half of this, but I'll definitely try and get those results posted somewhere. And then I'm sure other analysts on here will talk about it or create content with it as well, or at least hopefully will. But now that we're kind of up to date with the picks that have been made, because I don't think Dan's gonna make his pick within the next 5 minutes unless he just gets a signal in his mind like, hey, there, no one's talking about this right now. Let me go make my pick, but not gonna rely on that. So we're gonna go ahead and call this episode. Next week, I'm gonna start doing team breakdowns, having guests, and doing rookie breakdowns as well. Like I said, I think those are going to come in like pretty digestible, like 10-minute format for the rookie breakdowns. I don't know if that'll be something where I publish one a day, or if I find a day that I like and publish like three or four in one day and just make it in 10-minute episodes so that it's easier to listen to. We'll see. But that's going to do it for this episode. You can like and subscribe. Follow me on Twitter at NoUrban22, at FBI Basketball on Twitter. You can also, as I said earlier, use the code FBI on manscaped.com, get 20% off. That would support us a lot, and you get a great deal. So can't think of anything else. So that's going to do it for this episode, and I will see you guys next week.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.